Karen,
not
there. Karen is the leader tonight because no Andrew.
All right. Hang on, I'm still arranging myself.
No problem.
Okay. Number 10. Would it surprise you to learn that when data information coalesced to form and matter, that coalescence established an order or ordination of things? This ordination portrays the arrangement and active interrelationship of aspects and orders or empowers each aspect. I think I read that wrong. This ordination portrays the arrangement and active interrelationship of aspects and orders or empowers each aspect, which is repeated again and again from the smallest to the greatest. In this, you are an ordered individual. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't, for you have always sensed that and felt it, but you didn't understand it. And, unfortunately, long ago, this was interpreted to indicate the existence of God and God's plan for you. Actually, your ordination pattern is merely the natural order and empowerment that is echoed again and again throughout you to be consistent with, and so you can always be obedient to yourself in all ways, which is the truth of you as you truly desire.
That deserves another one. That deserves another one of those wows. That immediately came to mind that I want to copy number 10 out and use that as a basis of conversation at our meeting tomorrow night up here. Mm-hmm. But that is, I can't remember if Roger ever told it to us in this way before, but this, as it says, that unfortunately long ago this was interpreted to indicate the existence of God and God's plan for you. Wow! Actually, isn't that something? That in reading it, it now seems abundantly self-evident.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, it's very explaining to me.
Okay. Well, I'm still jockeying myself around. Sorry, guys. Okay. Passage 11. You can know all the facts possible about yourself in life, but if you don't know the underlying ordination pattern of those facts, nothing about you and your life will make any sense. So let's consider the ordination that is you, beginning with your body.
And that's enough, to me, that's another one of those things that should be self-evident, but isn't for most people. Is that unless we know that underlying pattern of ourselves, everything else doesn't make sense.
Yep.
I don't know what aspects. What does that mean? I know it's in the last one, but interrelationship of aspects. Obviously, aspects is different from constituents, but I don't know how.
Aspects are just different parts of you, different, I don't know, what's
are
a good...
Are you leaning back again, Misty?
Patrick, I am in such a weird position trying to do this thing, I'll do my best, but I am locked away in the bedroom trying to do this because the VOG is so bad here that you can't hardly breathe, so...
Oh...
So it really is kind of like the constituents, but it's what makes you up.
Aspects, you know, the aspects. You got a good definition of that, Patrick? Aspects.
Well, the way I look at it is the aspects of you, Sharon, that you're female, at your age, you're a doctor, you have care.
But all of that's pretty irrelevant, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's kind
those
of
are
like
aspects, but this is what it's saying is that all those aspects of you interrelate all the time. No matter what is going on, all those things that make you uniquely you are interrelating all the time.
Okay.
And this ordination orders and empowers each one of those aspects of you. They're okay. Not just out there by themselves and just happenstance came about. They're ordered and empowered by your basic ordination.
Okay. But I think that's sufficient.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Patrick.
Can I do number 12?
Yep.
Your ordination does not mean you have been set apart and consecrated for special purposes or to perform unusual functions in life. An ordination is not unique to you, for all beings are ordained to be and live as they truly desire. However, those who are aware of their ordination are also privileged to declare how they will be and live eternally.
Hmm. 13, the universe teaches this privileged ordination to you and fully supports you by never interfering with your living as you truly desire. This is more intimate and splendid than unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, excuse me, what do you think it means the universe teaches this privileged ordination to you? I guess I'm asking Misty if you can give us a hint of what you think that means.
I think that it's kind of like revealing.
Ah, revealing fits is as a synonym for teachers in this particular application.
Maybe I should change that because
I can go with that.
Yeah.
Universe teaches / reveals this privileged ordination to you. Okay.
Number 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The body you were born with or born for was an ordination expression of your parents, not you. However, after a certain period of time, as your body cells slough off, what does mean slough off?
Like it sounds, like it slides off, like it just slides off your body. You get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Your skin cells
your body
are always
become go ahead.
Well, your skin cells are always sloughing off. If you look in your environment, you would see lots of skin cells because they're falling everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. I start again. The body you were born with or born for was an ordination expression of your parents, not you. However, after a certain period of time, as your body cells slough off and are replaced, your body becomes what you create for yourself. In this, you can readily understand that your parents did not create you they merrily invited you with a social party. And that way, and that may actually be all your parents ever did for you. But that is enough. For the body your parents gave you in communion with you as a personal self-functioning, that body enlivens you as a personal self to being, as a personal being.
Okay. Everybody,
back
pretty
clear.
Yes, we're back to you. But I was just going to say, is that pretty clear to everybody what's being stated here?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure, because
yeah.
We don't want you
it
to.
It makes me think now that when I see 3-month-old babies and they're looking at their hands or their feet, they're wondering, well, is it changing to me yet?
Maybe. Or what the heck is this?
Yeah, they might be much more aware of the change than we are.
Could be. Okay. So, yes, Karen, we're back to you.
All right. 15. Following this same ordination pattern, your personal self was projected by an eternal self. Then, when your personal self is embodied to become a personal being, that personal being enlivens and embodies its eternal self to beingness as an eternal being.
Okay.
Andrew should be here to read this one, yeah.
Yeah, really. Maybe he's traveling or something. Passage 16. In the same way, your eternal self was projected by an illuminated self, which when that eternal being, personal being, communion, much as your parents' communion to embody you, that eternal personal communion embodies your illuminated self as an illuminated being.
That knits it all together.
Yeah, so he's just running through the process of this goes to this, to this, to this, to this. Yes.
And I guess, Missy, that this is laid out in a couple of passages, but it's something that is in all likelihood occurring simultaneously, instantaneously.
I don't know if it is simultaneous or if it is sequenced.
Sequence.
So,
yeah,
it could be, but it's definitely, I would say, sequenced, because, in my opinion, this must come in order for this to occur, in order for that to occur, in order for the next thing to occur. So, it may be so fast that you can't even see the time. Huh?
If we're active enough, I want to take that away. As active participants in the sequencing, it could stall at some point because I stall it?
Well, in order for the loner body to become the personal being that you desire, it's got to go through a process, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that usually runs about 7 years in order for that to occur, in order for all the body parts to be sloughed off and new ones replacing it. So, could it be stalled somewhere? I would think that yes, unless, you know, you live a certain way and really embody this. To get to the point where there's really a strong illuminated being without the eternal being, there, it won't occur. I think
so
that,
therefore, I could stall myself within the context of everything that was supplied as, with my body.
Right, and just live that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see that now, and the sequencing. As if it was automatic, we could say, well, we've been alive a long time now. I must be an illuminated being. No, I got to be actively participating in this.
Yeah, if you're not participating, if you're living by default, the chances that you have any illuminated being or eternal being of consequence is small.
Mm-hmm.
And without that strong memory of eternal being, illuminated being, what is there to continue?
Yeah, we just drift back into the mass.
All right, nothing.
Okay, so...
Okay, number 17?
17.
In other words, just as a self-replicating particle is ordained to create particles that create the original particle, you create past lives that create you. You are ordained to project an image of yourself which, when embodied, embodies you to being. This indicates, of course, that any image you project of yourself from imaginative mining you are willing to embody and experience in that, you embody that, sense that beingness, and find you are that. You are ordained in that way, such that what you embody embodies you.
Hmm.
So that fills out more, Misty, about how the sequencing occurs.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Hmm. 18. Do you see in this that you choose the form and nature of your ordination? If so, we can continue. Can we do 19?
Well, you might as well.
Yeah.
As a personal being, eternal being, illuminated being, you embody yourself to beingness as a condition of godness, which is as you project yourself to be, which is both the underlying framework for yourself, which you build yourself upon, and is the aspiration of yourself, which you build yourself to be. I like that one. That's good. Because it doesn't do much.
Okay, Simone?
God does not exist. Not as a power, force, consciousness, love, awareness, or goodness.
Godness.
And you were not ordained in any by God, anyway. In fact, God is a projected condition of self and life you would willingly embody and life eternally. For in that, you are communing with yourself and bringing yourself to being. Actually, in that, you are being yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it looks like we're coming back around to you, Karen.
Now, do you see how this framework or pattern of yourself repeats from the least to the greatest? And those who know the least of themselves or others as a pattern know the greatest. Actually, only by creating the eternal past of yourself will you ever truly know yourself. And that is true of others as well.
Okay.
So those who know the least of themselves or others as a pattern know the greatest. What do we think that means?
That which is lesser than is also not greater than that which it is lesser than?
Yeah, that came to mind.
Yeah, or your biggest struggle is your, no, how? Your biggest...
Yeah.
Is your biggest asset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's struggle.
Might also be that by the terminology of knowing themselves, that actually they may be stuck in that knowing of the physical instead of the ongoing, the eternal. They may be stuck in that. I don't know. Because if they know the least of themselves, they may have that awareness that of that God being. I don't know.
Oh, I think but, I've got it now.
I don't know.
But if
good,
they know
because
all
I'm
the
going
aspects.
Over it again and again. What do you see, Patrick?
I think he's saying that those who see themselves as the greatest know the least about themselves. No, actually, that's the other way around. I don't think Roger ever used the word humility. I can't remember him ever using it. But if somebody is fat-headed, they're locked away from this. And he's saying that those who know least of themselves, then are capable of creating the eternal past of yourself that you will ever truly know of yourself. So it's that if I am a blank sheet of paper, I enable myself then to create an internal self of myself, an eternal past of myself, that will allow me then to know myself truly.
So it gets rid of the interference.
Yeah. So it's that knowing the least of myself sets a framework within I can then create an eternal past, because it's the eternal past that allows me to truly know myself.
Uh-huh.
If I already got it figured out, I'm not going to be interested in my eternal past.
Yeah.
I think that's getting to it.
Yeah, well, that does make sense. Oh, who read that one?
Terrence.
Okay, so on that. Passage 22. In the midst of a dream, everything seems real, and you are fully engaged in the events. Yet upon waking, you immediately know it was only a dream. How did you know that so quickly? What was so different between those worlds that you immediately knew one was real and the other was just a dream?
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Anybody have an answer for that? I would say it's because you don't have a past. In life, you have...
Oh, yeah, there is no past in the dream.
Right.
But when I wake up, I have a past, and I know that, you know, I know where I'm at now.
Yeah.
So in the context of a dream, I don't have a past.
Right, so that when you wake up, you realize that that was a dream because there's nothing else to relate it to.
And if you do have a past, you can relate your dream to this past.
Well, what it's saying is the dream itself has no past.
Oh. Uh-huh.
In the dream, all of a sudden, you're just, there you are. Well, how did I get there? I don't know. I don't have the past to relate to tell me how, and there I was on top of a mountain. Okay. Well, nothing gives you the information of the previous events or whatever else so that you can't relate to it and say, oh, well, there's a past there and I understand all that and it has a sequence that goes on. A dream does not. Uh-huh. It just starts somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess we're up to you, Patrick.
23. When enclosed in a flight simulator, you are fully engaged in the reality of flying an aircraft, even to the point of feeling distressed if the plane crashes. Yet, like a dream, when the crash is over, you can instantly know you are in a simulator and didn't actually crash and burn. How is this possible? And I think you just said it, that we can take the simulator and take it out of any other context, and it has no past. It's just, I started walking in, and then when it crashes, I walk out, and there's no past. That's why I know it's, quote, not real.
Yep. And also, there are no consequences of that crash.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Sharon, 24.
Like most people in your life, which means so real, which seems so real, there were probably instances or even extended periods of time when you probably felt that your, quote, real life, quote, is not so real after all, that it is a dream or an illusion in the midst of a real world. And you will awaken at any moment to yourself and to what is really happening.
Well, I know there were times when I wished it was a dream.
Yeah.
You wish you could wake up.
Yep. Yep.
Actually, that, you know, from that point of view, I know I've had dreams. And I felt really troubled in the midst of the dream. And then realizing it's a dream and going, oh, thank God, I don't have to live that.
Yep. Absolutely.
The only time I've had that sensation was like when it's extremely beautiful outside. And I can sense that I'm all the particles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Simone.
Okay.
25. Returning to your dream, how did you know so quickly that it was only a dream and not real? While involved in the dream, you were creating a past, so everything seemed perfectly real. But when you awake, the dream presented no long-term memories. You know when it began and when it ended, but your life offers past or memories before the dream. Therefore, the dream without a past must be false, and your life with a past is real. The same is true of the flight simulator.
So that's pretty much what we were talking about.
Here's the explanation again, yes.
26. Your dream and the simulator were real while you were engaged in them, creating a past. And your life today seems real because you are involved in creating a past. But you don't really have any long-term memories before this lifetime, do you? So maybe this life that seems so real is also a temporary vision. But you can make your life real or resolve the dilemma by giving yourself and life a past before your birth and living and experiencing that past to memories.
Okay. 27. Odd as it may seem, you alone can make your life real as you truly desire, or continue living everything in doubt and uncertainty as illusions. But making yourself and life real doesn't mean to wake up to a real world. It means that in creating the past self and life you truly desire, and being that, and living and experiencing it, that is your real. Did you ever even imagine your life could be so wondrously real as that, as you choose? In fact, it is up to you to choose who you are and have experienced yourself to be, not who you want to become.
Wow, is that ever marvelously turning it around ass backwards?
Yep. Now you guys speak amongst yourself for a minute, because I'm going to have to go deal with a bird.
Okay. I'm next. 28. It is declared that the past is gone, and there is nothing you can do about that, and the future hasn't arrived. So the only choice you have is to live in the present, in the moment, in the now. But how can you do that? For certainly you understand that everything exists, that is real, must have a past. And if you ignore or forsake that past, you cannot know real from unreal. Also, how can you possibly choose or make a wise decision, or any reasonable decision at all, based only on the present moment? Exactly, living
in homeless people. What are you
saying? I was saying, ta-da, you people who believe you live only in the moment, take that. Yeah. Anyway, Sharon?
I'm actually lost. Which 29. One did you just, huh?
I just, 28.
28, okay. That's why I got to flip the page. It is declared that the past is gone, and there is nothing you can do about that, and that the future hasn't arrived, so the only choice you have is to live in the present.
Aaron, I just read that one. You're doing 29.
Oh, many people have tried, and the very best they can accomplish is to make an arbitrary decision, wait for something to occur, and then make another arbitrary decision. This is a depressing trial and error life, repeated over and over without much fulfillment or realizations. People we've met who seem to be living in these ways reduce their life to the simplest possible level, making the fewest possible choices beyond their survival, or seek to rise above choices. But in the most part, these individuals actually live a hollow life as distressed or tortured souls. You meet such people every day without realizing it, for very few people have any true understanding of past as their real self and world.
Mom?
Yes, I'm looking up a word. What was it? Hollow.
Empty.
Where is it? Here. Good. 30. If you insist on making decisions based only on the present moment, while real only exists with a past, it is possible for you to consider every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and desire and experience based on whether or not that created the past, you would willingly have eternally. Not sure about that.
You want to read that one again?
If you insist on making decisions based only on the present moment, while real only exists with a past, is it possible for you to consider every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and desire and experience based on whether or not that created the past you would willingly have eternally?
Okay.
Do you understand that, Simone?
Let me think. In making decisions on real. It says I might think that I can willingly create eternalness.
Basically,
is that what it says?
Basically, it's saying that only live those things that you would willingly have eternally.
Okay.
So the past that you're creating, when you're creating it, live only those things that you would willingly have as your past.
Yeah. Another expression, do only those things that you would do forever and ever.
Yep. Okay, Karen.
Ready for 31?
Yeah, take 32, too.
It seems that the only way you can wisely live in the moment is to consider the past each moment is creating.
You want to take 32 also?
A fundamental pattern in the universe is best expressed as a self-replicating particle that replicates particles that replicate the original particle. In this, you can see that even the smallest particle must have a past. And without a past, the original particle is not real. Following this same pattern, you create past
lives. Yeah.
Past moments and past experiences, which create you today. And without that past, though you exist, you are not real.
Yeah, I've known a few people like that. Following this same pattern, you create past lives, past moments, and past experiences. Does that not make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, except that I'm pondering how we've always said that was your past life, but it wasn't you.
Right.
So I'm creating my past life.
But in the way that you live life, you have created your past lives. You're living off data and information that is basically your past lives through genetic memory and through anything that you've taken on as data and information from elsewhere. And so you create those past lives either by creating them out of your genetics in the memories there or out of bringing it on from data and information in the universe.
Okay.
Unless somebody else has a different take on it.
So that means,
does it not, that in the absence of creating a past life, let's say, we will likely be defaulting to past memories and past body memories. That it's without a past, though it exists, you are not real. So we cannot exist without past. So we'll default somewhere. And earlier on in this section, it said we have the privilege of creating that past.
Right. So like it said, like with a dream, you know, you just kind of drop in all of a sudden. Well, in order for it to be real, you need to have a past that it's based upon. So you have the privilege of creating your original story, and you also have the privilege of creating past lives that you relate to relative to this life. So think about it. You know, the genetics that we carry, we're carrying, you know, a lot of lives in this genetics. Because when you think about going back and the tree that it creates, it's huge. So, but we only relate to certain ones. Ones that support who and what we are and what we want to live as. And so it gives us that past to base it upon, to create the foundation upon which we operate.
That seems so clear now.
Okay. Anybody else have any more questions on that? Okay. Passage 33. The past that creates you today is the past you have experienced, even if you do not remember that past. The past that enlivens you and makes you and your life real for you is the past you remember. The past that truly inspires and fulfills you is the past you truly desire and experience in your life today. The past that enables you to live as an personal, eternal communion being is your past as an eternal being. Your realness today takes the form of the past that is real for you, that you are carrying with you today. So did we gain or lose somebody?
Percent, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Percent.
Oh. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Thanks.
So we're on L, number, passage 34. Okay, Patrick, take the next two, would you?
Number 34, you are created by your past to create the past you truly desire, to experience and be confirmed to be. In following the pattern of language and living and doing for the future or for a consequence, you are living the self and life you truly desire backwards. No kidding.
Language sure seems to mess us up, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It does.
A verb and an object, and we think that's real.
Yep. Okay, Sharon.
Do not live to become. Live in every moment as the past you desire to be. In other words, always living the past you truly desire.
By always living the past you truly desire.
Okay. By always living the past you truly desire, your present and future will always be as you desire. For you always experience the self and life you are living, not the consequences of that life.
Percent, are you on mute? Maybe now. Okay. So we're up.
Shall I go on?
Yeah.
You vivid darkness. 37. Nothing about the Big Bang reveals that there was no Big Flash.
That there was a Big Flash.
Pardon?
Reveals that there was a Big Flash.
Oh, okay. Flash. For the materials necessary to create a Flash were not available in the universe at the time of the Big Bang, and were not created until some time later. Therefore, the universe was created in darkness, and remained in darkness for probably half a billion years, until early dark stars of
helium,
and hydrogen collapsed and burst into light.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about the Big Bang. They always start, oh, the Big Bang, you know, there was this big explosion and everything. There was just a... That was it. Did you hear that? Did you see that? That was it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sound. There was no flash. There was just... There it was. Okay. Karen?
Just another occurrence in the universe.
Well, the first occurrence, actually. Relative to when they're talking about the Big Bang. Of course, we know other than that, but when they're talking about the Big Bang, that's what they talk of.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be any more of a big flash than any of these galaxies that are out there.
Well, the galaxies that are out there now have all the things necessary to create light. But at that time, there wasn't anything to create any light at all. Okay. Take it away, Karen.
All right. 38. Of course, these first dark stars didn't last long, maybe a million years or so. But there were many of them, and more to come. And when they died, they created the elements necessary for bright stars to form and light up the universe from the dust of dark matter.
So things built upon other things to be able to create what we now know as the universe. Passage 39. However, in this, all matter did not become visible light matter or light reflecting matter. Much remained as unseen dark matter, which was not known or even postulated until the 1930s, and has not really been understood since. Dark matter was only perceived through the actions of light matter. It seems that what could be seen concealed what was unseen and not imagined. Can you conceive of dark matter being uncoalesced or insufficiently coalesced data information or mind?
Yeah, I can begin to conceive that.
Yep.
So number 40. Are you beginning to sense that the universe began as dark matter, which took time to ignite and light up? If so, then you can sense that dark is the natural state of the universe, and light is the aberration. Ain't that different?
Yeah. Kind of nifty.
What means aberration?
The thing that's
exception?
Out of thing that's really out of place.
Yeah, exception.
Exception would work, but the
two
thing that's
people at once.
Yeah, the thing that's really out of place. The thing that doesn't belong there. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Sharon?
41?
Yes.
As an aspect of the universe, surely you can understand that dark is also your natural state of being. I always thought so. And what is seen is aberration. In much the same way, your eternal privilege being is formed of unseen dark matter, waiting to be enlightened through every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, action, and experience.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So is this the 95% of our beings that we have spoken in other times?
Yeah, that's dark matter. You cannot see it.
Yeah. Okay. 42. To believe that at death you lose your identity and sense of self and awareness of your body is untrue. For you can no more lose these than you can lose your shadow and your talents, abilities, and awarenesses are also retained, if probably lightened.
Properly.
Or maybe, pardon?
Properly,
right. Or maybe we should say, if properly ignited.
Ignited, yes. Set on fire, lit up.
Uh-huh.
Forty-three. Death is the transformation from composed to uncomposed matters, from enlightened awareness to insightful realization in darkness, from matter lit and seen from without to unlit dark matter, but matter just the same, for all things are physical.
And that includes dark matter.
You said that includes?
That includes dark matter. It's still physical.
Yeah.
You are eternally aware of your own form and identity and your form of being and expressing.
You are in that you are eternally aware of your own form and identity. What do we take form to mean there?
Whether you're composed or uncomposed. Whether you're in light matter or dark matter.
Okay. And then I think I understand the use of form in the next use there of being and expression. And that would be another way of saying that is that I'd be eternally aware of how I have been alive. And I guess past tensing it from that point of view, it's not appropriate to be aware of being alive.
Cannot hear you, Patrick.
Well, I was saying that it, in the form of being and expressing, I wondered if that was similar to saying being aware of the form of being alive.
Okay, you want to read the next one for us, Patrick?
You're doing number 45?
Yes.
Your awareness and realization of mind maintaining its identity from dark to light and from light to dark, or from what can be seen to what is insightfully perceived, is eternal life. However, you should consider training your mind to see well in the light and to perceive clearly in the dark, lest you lose your way in both worlds. Can I read that again?
Certainly.
Your awareness and realization of mind maintaining its identity from dark to light and from light to dark and from what can be seen to what is insightfully perceived is eternal life. However, you should consider training your mind to see well in the light and to perceive clearly in the dark, lest you lose your way in both worlds. Okay. That is neat, too.
Yep, there's some really nifty tidbits of information in this, for sure. Okay, Sharon?
Are you saying something, Misty?
Yeah? I said Sharon?
I didn't hear you.
Okay, well, we're just going to move on to Sharon. Are you there, Sharon?
Sharon?
Sorry, I'm reading away, and I was on mute.
Well, it was lovely. It was in dark matter, yeah. Okay.
I know, that's exactly right. It was, right? You are not unfolding. You are transforming from dark realizations before birth to enlightened awareness at birth. Physical birth is a movement from dark to light. However, you are not evolving and unfolding to enlightenment. You were born to enlightening awareness to reveal that. And you return to enlightening realizations in the dark at death. And it's a challenge. I think you can actually have awareness. You can do, there's exercises you can do that actually can make you aware of your being before you were born.
I'm sure there are.
And it's done, of course, through the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
How did you exercise it?
It's Stanislav Grof's work, and it's a specific type of hyperventilation that triggers that part of the mind to reveal to you that you had awareness before you were born. But my awareness before I was born was not in a physical body.
You can also do it through imagination.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Guess we're back around to Karen.
47?
Oh, Simone, sorry. Yep, 47.
Your life is not different than waking up from a vivid image, from the vivid images of a dream. Two reflected light images.
You want to read that one again?
Your life is not different than waking up from the vivid images of a dream. Two reflected light. So light images. Yes.
Okay, so your life is no different than waking up from the vivid images of a dream to reflected light images.
That's one of those bizarre spaces, isn't it? Where it feels strange. You don't know what I'm talking about when you're waking up.
That
you have
second
had a dream.
Right when you... when you're coming out of the dream and into not being in the dream.
Yeah.
That surreal kind of instant. Yes. Okay, Karen, you're on.
Right, 48. It is declared that you cannot meet and resolve a problem on the level of the problem. This, fortunately, is untrue. You must meet and deal with every situation on the level of the situation, but not just from the narrow viewpoint of the problem. Expand your awareness to a broader seeing, inciting understanding of the situation.
That's kind of like saying, focus yourself by expanding outward. Okay. 49. Communion of personal being, privileged being, of awareness, realization, of light, dark, of seeing, inciting, offers you this broader, not higher or greater, perspective of yourself, your problem, and all of your life. I guess that should be problems.
So again, the communion of those things. Offers me a broader perspective.
Patrick? You want to read for us, Patrick?
Oh, I thought you were after Karen. Oh.
Did I fall asleep? Number 50.
I hope it was a good dream.
Yeah.
50. An eternal view of yourself and matters is not better or greater, merely broader and more expansive.
Extensive.
Yes, more extensive.
Okay, Sharon?
Yeah. 51. You are mortal, but you are also eternal. Are you awarefully living your eternal self as mortal, or are you mortal self as or your mortal self as eternal? Yikes.
What would the difference be?
Yeah, that's my question.
Mortal self eternal is not what you want.
I think that's correct.
Eternal self as mortal is okay, I would think. I don't know.
I would think that is the way, yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise you're just asking for constant suffering forever. Ah! Eternal self, you have a coping. You have a way to mold who you choose to be, the life you want. It just takes damn long to wake up.
And mortal self as eternal could be that, oh, we got to be more spiritual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or repeat the same thing all over again and again.
Yeah. Well, you do either way.
But do you want to repeat the mortal self?
If you repeat the eternal self over and over again, well, isn't that what we're doing, trying to learn about?
That's the desire.
It's just not always easy. There's a big hole in the ground called mortal, and my foot drops in it. Never mind.
Who's up?
No.
Is it me? 52. Are you individualizing and lightening an eternal life? What life? What is the truth and nature of that life? What is the history and story of that life? If you cannot answer these questions, maybe you are living your eternal self as mortal and repeating that again and again through memories. Is that what you want to continue?
Yeah, so when we were talking about 51, eternal self as mortal is not the way you want to do it. You want to live your mortal self as eternal.
It looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. We're trying, well, we are living ourselves as eternal. That's what forever living and all of that is about. So it wouldn't be eternal as mortal, it would be mortal as eternal.
I think I'm not sure about the difference.
Eternal self as mortal would be taking yourself down to the level of the physical body. Mortal to eternal would be taking the physical body to the state of eternal being, eternal self. Is that what you guys see?
Yeah, is it the other way around, the two statements?
No, because of what he just said in this passage. You want to read that passage again?
52?
Mm-hmm.
You are you, individualizing, enlightening, and eternal life.
Are you?
I think I do that, yeah. What life? What is the truth and nature of that life? What is the history and story of that life?
So he's talking about all the things that we learn in forever living about, you know, setting up your history, your original story, so on and so forth, and the nature of that life is relative to how you choose to be alive.
Okay? Right.
But if you can't answer those questions, then he says, then maybe you're living your eternal self as mortal. You're living yourself as the loner body.
Mm-hmm.
And repeating that again and again through memories.
Yeah.
And the question is that what you want to continue?
Oh, no, not really, no.
Okay. So, Karen, we're around to you again.
All right. 53. Communion of light and dark, of personal being, privileged being, of seeing and inciting, enables you to discern the eternal self and eternal reality appearing in all human activities.
Hmm. Okay. 54. Your eternal self in a dark world incites only what it believes and has experienced, while your personal self in a world of light perceives beyond itself and can perceive beyond cause and effect and without judgments to what it has never known or experienced before. So it's kind of like saying that when you're in the dark world, it's kind of like being in that bubble. When we talked about the bubble,
yeah.
can only experience and have what it already has experienced. And when you come into the physical, in the light, you can see beyond that. And like we were talking about earlier, then we have the ability to go beyond cause and effect, which was what we were talking about when we first started today.
55. Once even the tiniest crack of awareness about communion with your eternal self is open for you to see and understand, the rest comes more or less quickly, if only because then, instead of merely having hope or trust to rely on that your eternal being is true, you have a little insight and experience as a guide, which will ease your doubts and concerns and give you an eternal being to know intimately and rely on.
Okay.
Yep.
56. Do we want to talk about that one?
Something more you want to say about that, Patrick?
No, I'm just saying that I can see that even the tiniest crack of awareness opens the door, and it does. Once that tiny crack occurs, it seems to be easier after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go on,
56.
Sharon.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
But why has all of this taken so long to appear in your life? Well, that's a darn good question. Could it be that, like everyone else, you were searching for enlightened illumination, as incorrectly promised by teachers and religions? But now you know your eternal self is of the darkness of realized dark matter, and the vivid images of imaginative minding, not the darkness of evil or wrong or ignorance. This is the darkness of the natural world.
Okay.
57. You did not discover your eternal self because you expected and were looking for a bright, shining individual. Of course, this expectation came from saying such as, "I am the light of the world." He that
knoweth
me well
shall
not walk in darkness. That must be God, huh? But shall have the light of life. Who would follow such promises?
Who wouldn't
and
follow?
And seek the light of life. Even Buddha praised enlightenment without ever revealing his meaning of enlightenment. All right. How do you pronounce that word? He knoweth. That knows.
Knoweth.
Knoweth. Okay.
It's biblical.
Yeah, it's the old style Bible in English.
Mm. 58. The only problem is that this is the light and enlightenment of mortal life, not eternal life, which is the vivid darkness of life. You wanted the light of illumination, but didn't realize that to have the light of illumination, you had to live the light of awareness and seeing in communion with the vivid darkness of insightful, imaginative minding.
Passage 59. With even the smallest measure of this awareness, everything in your body and life will begin changing. But remember, you are seeking the vivid darkness of an imaginative minding to enlighten the way for your eternal self and guide your personal being and lead others.
I love it.
Number 60. There is no spiritual consciousness or illumination, no
transcendental
wisdom or mind. no higher or greater state of awareness, no profound insight. There is, however, the communion of light and vivid darkness. Are you willing to vivify your mortal being with an eternal being of dark matter and enlighten your otherwise dark eternal being?
Enlighten
your otherwise dark eternal being.
Are you willing to take back this vital, unseen, dark matter part of yourself that you have denied and disowned for so long, but which has never denied or disowned you, which has constantly supported you and frequently comforted you? Are you willing to unite with what you have forsaken but not lost? The answer would be yes.
You go, girl.
I try. This is really good tonight.
62. Remember, dark matter is merely unlit matter, not something that is threatening, wrong, or incomprehensible.
Okay.
63. The communion of mortal eternal and of light and dark matter in a physical world is the nature of your true existence. And only to the degree that you recognize this will you end your constant struggle with duality and find true meaning and purpose in all things. This composed, uncomposed way of light and dark gives life to eternal and understanding to mortal. This is the natural way.
Okay. Passage 64. The universe does not choose light or dark, mortal or eternal, composed or uncomposed. It always offers both without conflict or opposition, and fully supports both. The actions and necessities of mortal life give voice and expression to all that is eternal, which otherwise remains eternal, but is quiescently eternal, without meaning or purpose.
Okay, 65. Superior attributes, qualities, and actions do not enliven or portray eternal. And you cannot gain eternal life. You either awarefully have an eternal life and constantly express that, or you live unawarefully. Are you willing to behold eternal in yourself and life and live in the awareness and realization of that? If so, then realize that the way of eternal is observed and expressed through physical conditions and minding. Otherwise, without physical expression, eternal has existence but no real life. Are you willing to give voice to your eternal existence and bring that to life? Or will you let your eternal existence languish in darkness, there to remain unseen and unknown?
Mm-hmm. 66. Awareness of eternal life begins with imaginative minding. Are you willing to awarefully arouse your eternal self from the darkness of existence without life and live the life that live in life that as you truly desire? Your eternal existence depends on you for life.
Okay, guys, right there, I'm going to stop. I think that's a good stopping point because it goes into a little bit of different stuff. And I hear everybody fading, so.
Yeah.
So, well, it's
actually, the stuff is really intense.
Yes, it is.
It is. Yeah,
and
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, another great. I'm really, I'm really pleased with this one too.
Yeah,
but I am tired.
But yeah, it's enough to think about.
Okay, so with super that,
duper, guys. Thank you so much.
I will say good night for now.
Good night.
Good night for now.